This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
PlayStation Pop Experience, Making Mount Rushmore, is back. That's right. I am Andy Atherton, your moderator. I have a great panel tonight, as per usual. We have nothing but great panels here on this show, because everybody here at PlayStation and our special guests that will come in from time to time from outside the fold always bring the goods when we have these shows. I really love doing this. One of my favorite shows to do, because it's something different every time. We have great discussions, even a little arguments, but it's all in good fun. And tonight will be no different, I can tell. Tonight we're going into the 90s. We did it for the 80s, so for the 90s, we're going to go into Mount Rushmore's first of the comedy movies, and then we'll talk about the 90s action films with the following guys. They're going to break it down. First off, Matt Souza is here. Hey, Matt.
Hey, Andy. Always good to talk to you. Thank you for welcoming me back, as always. Love doing this show, so thanks for having me.
I think it's a safe space for you and our next guest, since another particular person isn't here. Logan Crosland, the Mud Pie, is here as well.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm glad to be on a non-Sean podcast for a while.
it's good to know.
And Roger, I just want to let you know, no one will yell at you like D'Amato does every time you are on the show. You're safe.
Yes, it's always a safe space, as much as we can for him. Also joining us is Steve Riddle.
What's up, Andy?
Hey, Steve. Long time, no talk, right?
Right?
All right. And Ben Locke is here as well.
It's amazing, isn't it, that how much abuse...
See, what's Sean? Did Sean just cut your mic? What happened? Ben, you there?
It's a tough start for Ben.
I know, he's off to a terrific stop.
That voice you just heard is
the cowboy Roger Morissette. Hey, cowboy.
Hey, how's it going? And by all means, please yell at me. I think that's what makes the show fun, is disagreement. Matt, you and I tend to disagree, so...
All right, I'll yell at you. Fine. All right. if you insist.
All right, so we are talking about 90s comedy movies, and let's get to our first one with Matt Souza. Lead us off.
All right, so we are going to lead off with one of my absolute favorite 90s comedies, a movie that I have seen probably 100 times or so, and I wish I was joking, but I'm not. It's one of those movies I've watched every time it's on TV, and that is Wayne's World. I absolutely love this movie. It's very stupid. I can pretty much recite every line from this movie offhand. Yeah, it's one of my absolute favorites. I'm a big Mike Myers fan. I'm a big Dana Carvey fan, and this movie works. Probably the best movie based on an SNL sketch from my money, which, I mean, most of the other ones are pretty bad, but yeah, I absolutely love this movie.
Yeah, yeah. When it comes to based on SNL sketches, the bar is pretty low. Right. So, but Wayne's World is tremendous. Steve, you also had it on your list.
Yeah, everything Matt said, it's definitely a great, great film. Very funny. Like you said, probably the best movie based off an SNL skit. And I'm sure if you ask a lot of people about the film, the one scene they'll tell you about is them in the car while Bohemian Rhapsody is blasting, and they're singing along with it. Is such an iconic, you know, scene in cinematic history. So yeah, great pick there, Matt.
Yeah, and Ben had it as well.
Yeah, it was easy number one for me, Andy. You know, like Steve mentioned, the Bohemian Rhapsody scene, but, you know, just bringing like catchphrases back, like, you know, swing and way, no way into consciousness. Yeah, it was just an easy pick for me.
Mm-hmm. Pardon me, would you have any Grey Poupon? Yeah, lots of fun, extremely quotable, especially, you know, those of us who did see it when it came out, like, you know, right in that sweet space. Logan, do you have any thoughts on Wayne's World, even though it didn't make your list?
Oh no, yeah, it's a great movie. It's not one I've seen 100 times like the other my movies on my list, but yeah, definitely a great movie, and I'll watch it anytime I see it on.
Catboy, any thoughts?
Good movie. Didn't come close to my list, but good movie. I mean, I was I think I was in 7th grade when this came out, and I liked it just like everybody else. I think the big takeaway for me was that at the school dances, they always played Bohemian Rhapsody because of this movie as the last song, and it was real long, so you had to make sure that you were with someone who you wanted to be with for that last dance. So it really kind of upped the ante there for 7th grade cowboy. But yeah, I would put it probably around number 20 for me, but that's just me.
Yeah. All right. Cool. All right, Logan. Give us your first entry.
This was an absolute layup for me, but I went with Dumb and Dumber. Just a great movie about two friends that are just absolute idiots that travel across the country to give a briefcase back to a girl, but they just get into all kind of hijinks and actually kill a few people on the way. But just a great movie with Jim Carrey and Jeff Daniels. Just great stuff. Hilarious. Are extremely quotable, and I just love it, and I've watched it probably 100 times, like Matt said about Wayne's World. But yeah, this is one we always watched whenever it came on TV, and we had it on VHS, so we watched it about 1,000 times. So great movie.
It also made Matt's list as well.
Yeah, no brainer. Another one of my all-time favorite movies. Another one that anytime it's on, I'll put it on just to see where it is. And yeah, fantastic movie.
Yeah, I love it. This is right in the Jim Carrey. He was just on fire between this, Ace Ventura, The Mask. Although, honestly, I think Jeff Daniels is funnier in this movie, especially the scene after, Lloyd loads up his hot cocoa with something. Just the facial expressions as he's having the explosions coming out of him. Yeah, just way too funny. Let me look around and see who had on there. Roger, it was one of your honorable mentions.
I actually removed... I sent Andy 2 different lists, so it was an honorable mention on my first list, and I bounced it from my second list. So that would tell you, very good movie. Didn't quite make it for me. I'm not as big a Jim Carrey guy as some other people. I think I like his stuff. I didn't love his stuff. I think this is his best movie. So if I was going to put one on, I would have put this one on. To your point, Andy, Jeff Daniels is hilarious in it. And, you know, for me, the iconic part of this movie is that fucking the dog, the car that's a dog.
Yeah, Mutt Cuts. Yeah, still hoping to come out with that for my collection that I have.
So you're saying there's a chance, right? Yes.
So we're so there.
I don't know, Roger. The French are assholes.
That's a good one, too.
Steve, you have anything to add about Dumb and Dumber?
Yeah, it didn't make my list, but definitely a good pick. That was, like I said, right when Jim Carrey was really starting to break out. And like I said, Jeff Daniels, I think, kind of gets forgotten about for how good he is in the film. And I do remember, because I was actually working in the movie theater when the sequel, Dumb and Dumber 2, came out. And, you know, not quite as good as the first one, but, there was a lot of hype around it because it was, these guys coming back together for this film so many years later, but definitely the first one is definitely a good choice.
Mm-hmm. Ben, any thoughts?
Popcorn fart moment already, Andy. Should have been on my honorable mentions list. Wasn't. If we're talking iconic scenes though, let's just mention the ski lift quick.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. Ben, that's 2 shows in a row. We had a popcorn fart very early.
Yeah.
Ben, my goodness.
All right, Steve, give us an entry on your list.
Okay, my first pick is another great comedy pair from Saturday Night Live. We talked about Mike Myers and Danny Carvey, but I'm going to, of course, mention Chris Farley and David Spade and the iconic Tommy Boy. Such a funny movie, so many great quotes in it. Chris Farley is right in his wheelhouse with the physical comedy, and David Spade is a great straight man. And so many other, really good performances in there. Rob Lowe, Bo Derek, and so many others. Just such a really, really funny movie. And, you could say that, the two of them peaked with that film as, they had Black Sheep, and which didn't do as well, and then, you know, unfortunately went sadly downhill for Farley. But I think we ask a lot of people about the 90s comedies, I would be very surprised if they didn't mention Tommy Boy as one of their favorites.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Steve, if you want me to shit in a box and mark a guarantee, I will. I got spare time. Logan, it was also on your list as well.
Yeah, like Steve said, Spade and Chris Farley are just like dynamite together, and Farley with the physical stuff, and just Spade being so dry and kind of matching Farley's pound for, or, you know, back and forth in that movie. It's just great. That's one of those that I'll watch anytime it comes on. Just a great cast and a lot of laughs and a lot of quotable lines for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Rob Lowe is really funny in it, as well as a very small part at the end. Dan Aykroyd as Zelensky, you know, send a bucket of bubbly over there and a carrot. Ice down your marbles. Get drunk on me. You're a Z. Ben, any thoughts to add on Tommy Boy?
I like it. I don't probably love it as much as you guys. I think I've seen it two or three times in my life, so I will let the others who love it speak about it.
Roger, any thoughts?
Great movie. It did not make my list, but great movie. I actually just watched it probably 2 weeks ago for the 50th time. Brian Dennehy, really good. Also, I love him as Big Tom. And Bo Derek was still had it going on for this movie.
Yeah, she's like a 10. Matt, any thoughts to close out on Tommy Boy?
First of all, I see what you did there, Andy. Nicely done. Second of all, just missed my list. Great movie, like Roger. It's a movie I've seen a bunch, but just missed.
All right, Ben, give us another entry on your list.
Okay, first one, well, second one of mine, actually, from 1993 is Groundhog Day with Bill Murray. Just absolutely fabulous movie. Again, you know, we talk about movies already where I can just sit down and watch it over and over and over again, and yes, that pun was intended. But I absolutely love it. You know, it's one of the great Bill Murray performances, because he's being a sarcastic, cynical dick, and then he realizes that towards the end of the film he actually, you know, he needs to be a nice guy to get the girl. I don't particularly like Andy McDowell, but I seem to pick a lot of her films for these shows, Andy. I can only apologize.
Yeah, it's amazing how that happens. let's see, Roger, you had Groundhog Day as an honorable mention.
I did, and it was on my original list, and I bounced.
Are you sure? You sure you had it as an honorable mention?
I'm sure. Yes, it was. My original Mount Rushmore, and then I bumped it to number 5. Begrudgingly, it's one of my favorite movies ever. Really, I love Bill Murray. And I think overall, it's probably a better movie than the other ones we've talked about, and probably a better movie than most of the movies on my list. But, you know, when I think about, you know, it's a comedy, but it's not like a straight comedy, which is why it's kind of in a tweener in my mind. Because it's a real, like, heartfelt story at the end, too. And just a great, great movie. I remember going to see it in the theater. And I'll watch it anytime it comes on. And I Got You, Babe. That should be everybody's alarm clock song.
Yes. all right. Matt, any thoughts to add about Groundhog Day?
Yeah, it's a good movie, but I didn't think to put it on this list.
Logan?
Yeah, definitely a good movie, just not one I've seen more than like 2 or 3 times, so I didn't even consider it, honestly.
All right, Steve, any thoughts?
Yeah, just missed the cut for me, but like I said, great film.
Mm-hmm. All right. Roger, why don't you give us the first entry on your list?
Sure. So the first one we can do is American Pie.
Mm-hmm. Very
so
funny,
it's kind of late 90s, but one of the few movies, I've only done it a few times, that I went to see in the theater 3 times. really had, I mean, and I think some of this was probably the age I was at the time. I was like 19 or 20 when it came out. And these guys, you know, they're just finishing high school. And, you know, I just thought the movie was absolutely hilarious. And it was a big deal. It was a big deal culturally. and it was a fresh idea, which I like, which we don't get a lot of these days. Completely brand new idea. And then, I mean, the Shannon Elizabeth thing was very real. And yeah, just the scene with the pie, everything. Just I don't know how somebody could watch that movie and not laugh their ass off.
All right, Matt, you had on your list as well.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer. It's an iconic movie. We'll begin the line of movies I'll be talking about this evening that I was probably too young to see the first time I saw it. But yes, I will confirm Shannon Elizabeth Hachimachi. So we'll leave it at that.
All right, Ben, you had as well.
Yeah, definitely the head of the train is Shannon Elizabeth. Yeah, and it was sort of at that time in the late 90s where there was this whole plethora of teen movies and gross-out movies, and it is head and shoulders above them all. You know, we haven't even mentioned Eugene Levy yet. But, like I just said, so you got, you know, the whole cast of the film, so you got the four boys, you got Eugene Levy, you've got Jennifer Coolidge, who's in it for one scene and practically steals the show in one scene. It's just one of the great, great movies of any decade.
Yeah. Logan, any thoughts?
Yeah, that one just missed the cut for me. That would definitely be number five of just right outside my Mount Rushmore. Definitely a great movie. Definitely a good concept to kind of start. You know, they started making a ton of them after that, but it was definitely this first of its kind, and it's just a great movie all around.
Steve?
Yeah, wasn't a consideration for me. Never really tickled my fancy in terms of comedy films. Just wasn't my. It just didn't appeal to me for some reason. But definitely still, I can understand why it would be on why someone would pick it.
Well, that is a perfectly natural reaction. So, very good. All right. Matt, what's your next entry? Actually, it's going to close out your list since you crossed over a few times.
Yes, yes, it is. We're going to close things out with the first in the trilogy of Austin Powers movies from 1997. I think the first movie, Austin Powers movie, is the best Austin Powers movie. They all got, I mean, it's an absurd trilogy to begin with, but they got, by the second and third movie, they just got way, way over the top. I think the third one, the first one kind of keeps a balance between, you know, funny, like more like a spoof, whereas I think the second and third one just get way too crazy. And it's an iconic movie. There's so many iconic scenes in it. And again, my love for Mike Myers is probably putting it on the Mount Rushmore for me, but I've another movie I've seen a bunch, and if it's on TV, I'll put it on. So,
Mm-hmm. All right, yeah. Ben, you had as an honorable mention.
Yeah, I had.
Is that like a law because it's a British?
It's because it's a really bad British hammy accent. I wouldn't like it, but there we go. I do. but like Matt says, it's an iconic movie. You know, yeah, baby, I can't. I'm British. I can't even do it right, can I? But it's great. Oh, behave indeed. You know, we haven't even mentioned as well. Dr. Evil is probably one of the best secondary characters of all time. Yeah, great film.
Right, Nabosh. Logan, what are your thoughts on Austin Powers?
Nah, yeah, I love the whole trilogy. I do agree with Matt. The first one definitely is the best. They get kind of tropey as they go on, but definitely a great film series, and that one's definitely the best one out of the three.
Steve, any thoughts on it?
Yeah, great trilogy. I actually prefer the second one to the first one. The first one's good. I like the first one, but I always, for some reason, prefer the second one. Maybe because I thought Heather Graham was more hot than Elizabeth Hurley. That might be an unpopular decision, but that's just me. And the third one was okay, but yeah, definitely a good series and a great pick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do agree with you. I think the second one is just slightly funnier, and you know, and as hot as Elizabeth Hurley is, you know, I was been in love with Heather Graham since License to Drive. Roger, any thoughts on the International Man of Mystery?
Good movie. that maybe the Elizabeth Hurley versus Heather Graham thing is like, you know, picking between a Ferrari and a Lamborghini. So I think you're okay. didn't make my list. I didn't like these quite as much as everybody else, but I certainly understand why Matt put it on there. I like the second one. I really like the fat bastard character, which I don't think he wasn't around until the second one. Mm-hmm. But yeah, good movies. And these were a huge phenomenon too. Matt, that's two Mike Myers movies, right? On your Mount Rushmore, you have two Mike Myers characters.
Yes, I do.
I think that's where unless you put Sorry Mary Next Murder with Nobody Did, that's where it ends. Don't go past that.
Those are the two. I mean,
yeah. You're not throwing 54 on there.
Welcome to my party. Yeah, I think I saw that once. Roger hit right on the head. It's like the first one is great, but then you take that and you just add Fat Bastard and you add Mini Me. And I think that's just what puts it just a hair above, in my opinion, for the second ones. All right. So, Logan, give us your next entry.
I'm going to go with, me and Ben, I think we're both on the rom-com special. I think Steve was on there with us too, but I'm going to go with one that I put on that list as well. I'm going to go with The Wedding Singer with Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore in it. Just a good love story. It has a lot of great songs in it. I love Adam Sandler, as I know somebody on this panel does not, Ben. My household was always a big fan of all the Sandler movies, so and this one was always my favorite, so it had to be on there for me.
Yeah, it has. See, here's the thing: that's a lot different from it's different that sets it apart from a lot of Sandler movies, which I'm sure Ben will probably may echo. But it has a heart. You know, it's got like it has probably the most plot and me being an '80s kid. It hits my nostalgia feels because I just relate to all the jokes and I grew up, I think it takes place in New Jersey. So it's not that far from where I grew up in New York. And it's just for me, super relatable. And how could you not be in love with Julia? I'm sorry. If you do the MFK, we would just really just do the M and F and you would, F Holly and M, Julia. So, Ben, of course, it was one of your honorable mentions.
Julia, get it right, Andy.
No, yeah. She's Julia Sullivan. She never marries Glenn, so there. If you're going to insult me, do it right.
Sorry. I'm playing that card also right now.
I know, you're going to lose it.
Right. So, as Logan sort of mentioned, I hate Adam Sandler with a passion. And I hate all his movies with a passion, with one exception, and it is this film. And like Andy says, it's because it has a heart, it's because it has a point, and it has a realistic storyline going for it. He's a bit of a dick, but he's not playing an immature dick who just happens to be a ... like he does in other films. You know, he's actually playing a reasonable guy towards the end. And yeah, I love it. Whether it's just because I'm an 80s kid, I think that's part of the reason. But compared to his other films, it's like, eons better.
Mm-hmm. Matt, any thoughts on Wedding Singer?
Didn't even cross my mind for this list.
Oh.
Right. Not one of my favorite Sandler movies, I'll say that.
All right. Steve, any Wedding Singer thoughts to add?
I'll be honest. I don't even think I've seen this film. If I have, I may have like once, and I have like very little memory of it. So I don't have much to add to it.
Mm-hmm. All right, high Cowboy.
Praise. That's high praise, Steve. If I saw it, I don't remember.
Oh God.
Roger, you have any thoughts on The Wedding Singer?
Yeah. So. I'm surprised that this would be a Rushmore, Logan, for you. It's, I don't know. I mean, I think if you're looking for a Sandler movie with a heart, that Big Daddy is a better Sandler movie with a heart. If you're looking for a funny Sandler movie, I think Happy Gilmore and Billy Madison and I don't know how you guys feel about The Waterboy. Some people hate it, but that was probably more of a comedy and more of a hit. This, I didn't hate it, but it was probably my sixth favorite Adam Sandler movie of the 90s.
That's the correct opinion.
Okay. At Matt. So I don't know if Matt. Bulletproof. I liked Bulletproof more than The Wedding Singer.
I don't know if I've seen Bulletproof, but I could tell you that Happy Gilmore is better than The Wedding Singer. I'll tell you that Big Daddy is better than The Wedding Singer, and I'll tell you that The Waterboy is certainly better than The Wedding Singer.
I think Waterboy and Wedding Singer are apples and oranges, in my opinion. In terms of, yeah, they both star Adam Sandler, but they're very different kinds of comedies. So,
and I mean, I hate to say it like this, Andy, but they're different because one of them's a lot more funny than the other.
They're different kinds of one is a romantic comedy, and the other one is just a kind of a silly, you know, over the top, comedy. I mean, I'm trying to think of the slapstick, I guess, so to speak. You know, like, and I'm not the biggest fan of Big Daddy either. I mean, as long as, you know, and ain't nobody mentioned Airheads, or was that, did that not come out in the 90s? I don't know.
Someone may mention Airheads later.
Oh, okay.
it made Matt's action list.
Oh, very funny. Steve, what's your next entry?
All right, my next film is one that came out in 1998. The summer of 98, I was 12 going on 13. And the first time I ever saw the trailer for There's Something About Mary, I immediately had a thing for Cameron Diaz. I don't know what it was about her that drew me to her, but I remember seeing this movie and it was, I thought it was really, really funny. She's great. Ben Stiller's really good in it. I had a great, you know, backup cast. Matt Dillon, such a great prick. You had Chris Elliott, who's like who's the creep, friend in there. Jeffrey Tambor, Brett Favre makes a surprise appearance in the end. Just an absolutely really funny movie. And it was right when Diaz was starting to really catch fire and become one of the hottest actresses of the time frame. So I think There's Something About Mary definitely merits a mention for me, at least on my list. Mm-hmm.
Also made Roger's list.
Easy call. Right, that one. Something About Mary and American Pie were the two that I felt like had to be on my list. Something About Mary, another one of the. I saw it three times in the theater, and the Farrelly brothers. It was really like their first big movie. They're from around where Matt and I live, and some of their later movies, maybe not quite. Lost a little bit of the shine as they went along, but this movie specifically was hilarious. Like the scene where with the hair gel, we'll call it, is something we'll never forget. And Matt Dillon's character in this movie, he is such a scumbag, fucking piece of shit. He's so funny, and I've always loved Chris Elliott as the cabin boy. You guys remember Cabin Boy?
Mm-hmm. I return, I shall be a cabin man.
Exactly. So this hit all the marks for me. I like Ben Stiller a lot too, and he was really good in this too. So
yeah,
another one that I say, like, or the Frank and the Beans, like that's a fucking great scene.
Oh God, I have nightmares about that scene now.
And then her stepdad or her dad in that scene, right? Is it Keith David? Is that his last name?
Yeah.
But he's hilarious. He's been in a bunch of stuff and is a great voiceover actor. I thought he was hilarious. So this movie was just kind of across the board for me. I thought it was hilarious. There's another one. I say, I don't know how anybody could sit down and watch this movie for the first time and not just be belly over laughing.
I literally had to see it a second time in the movie theater because we missed so many jokes because everybody was laughing so much. That's how funny that was the first time when it first came out. Have you seen my baseball?
Logan.
What?
Logan, mm-hmm. When you were watching The Wedding Singer, was that kind of going on? Like everybody rolling around on the floor?
Wow. See, you're being the D'Amato tonight.
We're going to spice it up. Me and Logan do a show together. We have to do this.
Yeah, I guess I just think it's funnier than everybody else does. I don't know.
Cowboy beat tonight.
7 minute abs.
I will comment that I have never seen this movie and I hate Ben Stiller, so I probably wouldn't like it anyways.
Good God, Mike.
No, I mean, a cheap plug for Laughing Theater. A lot of these movies we're talking about tonight, I have done, but There's Something About Mary is at the top of my wish list of a movie that I still have yet to cover on that show. Ben, any thoughts on There's Something About Mary?
Great pick, and we've got a bleeder, gentlemen.
Matt?
Yeah, here's my popcorn fart of the evening. I absolutely should have ranked this movie, and did not, because I forgot about it. So, my bad. But, yeah, it's a fantastic movie.
All right. Since Matt's list has been done, we're going to have Logan finish off his list.
All right, so I went with another Jim Carrey movie. I went with Ace Ventura, another one of those we've seen 1,000 times at my house. Extremely quotable. We loved all of Jim Carrey's movies, and this one just was always on the top of my list of comedies throughout the year. So I definitely had to make it for me.
Mm-hmm. Steve, any thoughts on Ace Ventura?
Yeah, definitely a good pick. I was more of a I preferred the sequel, When Nature Calls, to the original one. But I did like the original one was, you know, had its great moments too. And again, right as Jim Carrey really was catching fire. So great pick.
Yeah. Yeah. I do love When Nature Calls, but the original is up there. And yes, and another cheap plug, Laughing Theater. Logan joined me on that episode. Mm-hmm. Ben, any thoughts on Ace Ventura?
Good pick. And they even made Dan Marino funny.
Yes. That's true. Roger, you have anything to add?
Great pick, Logan. This was another one that was a big phenomenon at the time when it came out. I think I was in ninth grade when it came out, and it was just huge. And we had never, like, we had seen Jim Carrey on In Living Color, but mm-hmm. seeing him cross over and, you know, Finkel is Einhorn, Einhorn is Finkel, phenomenal. Good pick, Logan. You redeemed yourself.
I appreciate it.
All right, Matt, do you have anything to add on Ace Ventura?
Was almost on my Mount Rushmore proper until I swapped it out at the very last second for Dumb and Dumber. So,
alrighty then.
Great movie.
All right, Steve, why don't you finish off your list?
All right. So, if my dad listens to this podcast, he's going to be very pleased to hear that I had this one as my fourth one. And that's The Big Lebowski. Not one I've seen a ton of, but I know it definitely is, you know, it didn't do too well when it first came out, but it's become a big cult film over the last couple of years. You got Jeff Bridges in it as the dude. And one of the only films to ever make bowling seem interesting. And another great cast in here too. John Goodman, Julianne Moore, Steve Buscemi, Philip Seymour Hoffman. So I think, you know, maybe I could have swapped it out for one of my honorable mentions, but I think definitely deserved at least a mention on my Mount Rushmore is The Big Lebowski.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Roger had as well.
It was a late addition for me. I had kind of done what Matt did. I forgot about it when I sent my original list. I love this movie. It's one of those that would be. It's almost. It's almost like I was wavering on whether it's a true comedy, mm-hmm. but the first, you know, the first hour is so funny that I think it is like John Goodman's character, Walter, in this movie with the fucking bowling alley scenes and Mark it a zero and the Jesus 8-year-olds dude. And like, this is one that you could just like, it's one of those movies. If you watch it 10 times, you'll pick little stuff up and I think it's aged very, very well, and it's very, very, very rewatchable. So made my list.
Yeah. See, I've seen it. I've only seen it once, and I kind of don't get it. Like, I don't get what the big to-do is about it. Maybe it's just me or you know, whatever. I mean, it's one of the few movies I've actually vetoed for Laughing Theater because I'm like, nope, I'm not going to do this one because I don't like it. So, yeah.
just, you like, it's just, like other Coen Brothers stuff?
Yeah, I do like other Coen Brothers stuff, but I just, I still have to see one of my must on my shame list is Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? But I do like Barton Fink, even though that takes an extremely dark turn. But I do like the Coen Brothers of Raising Arizona as well. Matt, any thoughts on Lebowski?
Yeah, it's a good movie. I haven't seen it as much as some of the other movies I ranked here, but yeah, John Goodman is tremendous in it. But yeah, I enjoy the movie.
Logan, anything to share?
I'm kind of like you. I've only seen it once, and I liked it, but just not one that I've seen a ton, so I couldn't even consider it, honestly.
Yeah, Ben.
Made my honorable mentions list, and I think going back to what Roger said, it's a film that gets better as I get older, if that makes sense. Like, I appreciate it more now. But then I think I saw it, you know, the first time I saw it was about 98, 99, and I could give or take it then. But going back, like you say, you pick things up and you pick up on different little bits in it. But yeah, definitely good pick, boys.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I know somebody that watches it every year on the same date. He loves the movie that much. So, I mean, we're not, for once, I don't agree with everybody on the show. All right, Ben, finish off your list.
Andy, would you like to have my card now?
No, I have actually never seen this all the way through, so I can't rule on this one objectively. So,
okay, so I have picked one token British film, but I think it would probably make my list anyway, I'd like to think. So it's from 1997, and it's The Full Monty, starring Robert Carlyle and Mark Addy, who I know, well, Robert Carlyle, you'll certainly know from Trainspotting and The World Is Not Enough. So it's set in a northern city here called Sheffield, and set in the, you know, it's quite a depressing film at times, because it's set in this working class environment. Sheffield's known as the Steel City, and it's all to do with, like, the steel mines closing and what you do after the fact. So Robert Carlyle's character finds out that the local working man's club is playing to a full house where all the girls are going to see a bunch of strippers a la the Chippendales. So it's all to do with, so he gets his brainwave idea of wanting to go, you know, play the Chippendales basically. So it's him, Mark Addy, four other guys. And it deals with all these serious, dark subjects like body image and even suicide, which you don't get in a comedy. But it's got genuine heart to it. And I would say, I can tell probably the boys have never seen it before. Go on YouTube, just search Full Monty Job Center. And it's a wonderful film. It made me, you know, it does make me cry at times. It has got a true heart and soul to it. I think I'm right in saying it was the biggest grossing film in Britain of all time until Titanic came along. But yeah, I absolutely adore this film. Love this film.
All right. It didn't make anybody else's list or honorable mentions, but
shock horror.
Does anybody have any thoughts to share on The Full Monty?
I've seen it. I didn't think to put it on the list, but I've seen it. And it was a good movie. I agree, Ben. My favorite Robert Carlyle movie is one called Ravenous, if anyone's ever seen it. It's definitely not a comedy, but I don't want to spoil it, but it's worth the hour and a half if you're into violence.
He's definitely
I could say he's my favorite role of his was actually as Rumpelstiltskin / Mr. Gold on Once Upon a Time.
Yeah.
So. Thought he was tremendous in that. All right, so Roger, let's finish off your list before we get to the honorable mentions.
Sure. So this will be, so whenever I do this show, I always put one on there that's like just for me, right? So the first three were for everybody. For me, my fourth on Mount Rushmore was Kingpin. So I don't know if you guys have seen Kingpin.
Yes.
Woody Harrelson as Roy Munson, the washed-up bowler with only one hand. It was by the Farrelly brothers, and I just absolutely love this movie. It's so he's Roy Munson, and then Bill Murray. I love Bill Murray, right? Everything but the stupid stuff he's done that's not funny. which is more recently, but like all of the older Bill Murray stuff when he's a comedian, this is my favorite role of his. That's Big Earn McCracken, the bowler. He is just such an asshole. And like my favorite part of it is they do a PSA announcement where like Big Earn's supposed to be helping the kids and all the moms are hot and the little kids are like, sometimes Mr. McCracken's even there in the morning when I wake up, and Big Earn like winks to the fucking camera. And it's just, I just adore this movie, and I've seen it 100 times, and if it was on right now, I would hang up on this call and watch it.
Wow, two bowling films on your list, Roger.
I used to bowl a lot when I was younger.
Hey, I worked in a bowling alley, so there you go. No, it's very funny. He's over the top. Randy Quaid is also really funny as Ishmael in it. And you got Vanessa Angel, is very hachi-machi. The only time I had seen her before this was her very small part in Spies Like Us, where she shows up in the end as one of the token hot Russian. Matt, do you have any thoughts about Kingpin?
Yeah, it's a good movie, but I didn't think to rank it. I've only seen it a couple of times, but I liked it when I saw it. So,
Logan,
I've never seen it.
Oh boy, here we go. Steve, any thoughts on it?
I'm like Logan. I haven't seen it either.
Oh, Roger, these kids, I'll tell you. Ben, have you seen it?
You guys, yeah. I really should watch it. It's a funny movie.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've definitely thought about watching it a bunch of times, but I just never gotten around to it.
I mean, it's up there with Something About Mary in terms of, like, gross-out comedy. So, yeah.
I've seen it, I enjoy it, and, and again, another great scene, the scene when Bill Murray bowls and loses his hand with the ball is tremendous.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I mean, yeah, it's quite fun, and the whole Amish thing, it's hysterical. All right, so let's go around and do some honorable mentions. Matt, any honorable mentions you want to chat about for a sec?
So we have The Mask, which is another one of my absolute favorite Jim Carrey movies. I'm a big fan of, like, spoof movies, so we have Hot Shots Part 2, which is basically a spoof of Commando, and I absolutely love. I watched it a few weeks ago, and it still holds up. We have Don't Be a Menace to South Central, which is a spoof of Boys in the Hood by the Wayans Brothers, and is absolutely hilarious. We also have Basketball, which is by the South Park crew, which is another hilarious movie. And finally, the aforementioned Airheads, starring Ben Locke's favorite, Adam Sandler.
Well, he's actually like third or fourth billed in this movie.
This is true. He's billed lower than Brendan Fraser, so that tells you where Adam Sandler was at this point in his career.
Yeah, all right. There you go. Logan, anything you want to mention?
But Basketball was a good pull there, man. I really like that movie as well. I'll go with the much funnier Adam Sandler films of Happy Gilmore, Billy Madison, Big Daddy. I do agree that those are funnier. I like The Wedding Singer more. But I'll also throw in another couple Carrey ones. Matt said The Mask. That's a definitely good one. And Liar Liar is another one of my favorites from him. And y'all said American Pie earlier. That would definitely be right outside the Mount Rushmore for me.
All right, Steve.
Logan already mentioned Happy Gilmore. That was on mine. That was probably my favorite of the Sandler films. Matt mentioned about the South Park guys, and I in the last episode mentioned how South Park was on my cartoons Mount Rushmore. So I also had to mention Bigger, Longer, and Uncut, one of my absolute favorite films. Talk about spoof films. You got Robin Hood, Men in Tights. That's another good one. And then a couple of personal ones for me that I've always liked. Major Payne was always one I enjoyed. Has some pretty good quotes in there, that one as well. One that's not, because I mean, depending on your point of view, may not be a comedy or not. Matilda is one that I always used to like. I think that's a pretty pretty good film. And then finally, I wasn't sure if this belonged in this category or the next our second half. But when I looked it up, it said it listed as the first one. And one that's just so completely out there, Mars Attacks. One of those just kind of unusual just like out there films. That's just really funny and just so, you know, such a great cast in it and just so much fun. So that's some of the ones I've got.
Okay. Ben.
Billy Madison, shit.
All right. Steve's going to send you right to the chalky.
Okay. Yeah, I'm glad Steve mentioned South Park because, yeah, that is a tremendous movie. And the only other one that we haven't mentioned that I'm going to mention, it's a personal choice to me. It's a bit of a rite of passage movie for me in terms of I discovered drinking and taking various substances around the same time I first started watching the film is Mallrats. You talk about, you know, Matt Damon playing a great dick in Something About Mary, but Ben Affleck plays an equally great dick in this movie.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, love Mallrats. It's up there, one of my favorite, you know.
Would you like to covered pretzel, Andy?
No, I'm good, Ben. Roger, any honorable mentions that we didn't get to?
I love Mallrats, Ben. That's a great call. That asshole from the Fashionable Male. All right, so I just had one that didn't come up. Office Space, which is I think is a hilarious movie. I worked in an office at the time when it came out, so made it even just a little bit better. We all really envied Peter and you know, the Lumberg character, just great, and Jennifer Aniston's awesome.
Yeah, we're gonna need you to come in this weekend. Everybody, yeah, everybody's had a Lumberg in their office.
Hell, Lumberg.
Hey, to show my O face. Oh.
I just watched Office Space like 4 days ago.
Mm-hmm. All right, very good. Great job, gentlemen. So that's going to bring the end to the first half of this episode of Making Mount Rushmore. But when we come back, we're going to talk about the Mount Rushmores, these guys at least Mount Rushmores of 90s action films with Matt Souza, Logan Crosland, Steve Riddle, Ben Locke, and the cowboy Roger Morissette. I am Andy Atherton, Making Mount Rushmore. We'll be right back. Nation Pop Experience. Welcome back to Making Mount Rushmore, episode number 16. We're talking about 90s movies. We talked about the comedies, you know, those movies that make you laugh. Now we're talking about those action movies, those, you know, non-stop fun rides of ridiculous over-the-top you know, fight scenes and the one-liners and everything you just love about an action film. So we're going to start off with the cowboy, Roger Morissette. Roger, give us your first pick on your Mount Rushmore of 90s action films.
I'll go with the one that's probably on everybody's Mount Rushmore, but we can just get it out of the way. Terminator 2, Judgment Day.
Mm-hmm. How come you love it so much?
I mean, because it's maybe the best movie ever made. I mean, really, it was a real phenomenon at the time. It was it was a huge, huge hit. I was about the same age, I think, as Eddie Furlong in the movie. So I just imagined myself, you know, having Arnold Schwarzenegger killing people for me. But in all seriousness, the special effects for that time period were really, really groundbreaking. And they still even hold up a bit today, the stuff they did with the T-1000. It built off an already good Terminator movie. And it was just, like, I think it is the single best action movie ever made.
All right. Ben, it made your list.
Yeah. On another pod that me and Matt were on, we decided that Rocky IV was the greatest movie of all time, but I'm quite happy saying this is the greatest movie of the 90s. Like Roger says, it's just, It's absolutely brilliant. It's probably one of the first Arnie films where, you know, he's playing a good guy. He's got more than, say, 10 words to say at a time. The effects are just amazing. The soundtrack's brilliant. The scene when the lorry is crashing, you know, and they're chasing after it, and Arnie with the roses in the alleyway in the back of the arcade. Oh, it's iconic. Love it. Love it. Love it.
All right. It made Logan's list as well.
Yeah, that arcade spot is awesome. But yeah, just everything the other guys have said, just one of the best movies, period. But one of the best action movies for sure. Just great stuff. Arnold's awesome. Robert Patrick's good as T-1000. Just great stuff all around.
Have you seen This Boy? Plus, it also features Sam from Different Strokes. Matt, it also made your list.
Roger is correct. This is the greatest action movie of all time.
That's it?
That's all I got. What more? What else can I add to that? So,
all right, very good. Steve, it didn't make your list. Any thoughts?
I am going to get raked over the coals for this one, but I've actually never seen it.
Oh my god!
Oh,
it's
man. Way,
yeah, I know, I know. It's one of those.
Sit the rest of the show out. Just turn it on. We can have you back.
And Andy, hang up on him.
All right, hold on.
God. And the sad part is, it wasn't until like 2 years ago where I saw the first Terminator, so I got some catching up to. And what's even sadder is I saw Salvation and Genesis before I even saw the first Terminator.
Man, you're making
it
worse and worse.
you quit while you're ahead, man.
Can we get Joel to dig his grave in?
I've heard it's a great film. I do want to see it. I plan on seeing it at some point, and I will definitely I'm sure if I saw it, I would agree with all you guys that it is one of the greatest films ever created.
All right.
I watched Michael Jordan at North Carolina, and hey, I just decided to skip right to the Wizards.
False reference.
I saw him play college basketball, but you know, I decided I wanted to really see him play minor league baseball. You know, that's really more.
Never
of a
saw
better...
that Gretzky guy play except for when he was with the Rangers. You know.
But Steve, I'm just busting your chops, but you really do need to watch it. If you're a movie person, it really is. Like, it is very much holds up today, much more so than the first Terminator. But it holds up today. It is well worth your 2 hours.
No, yeah, I definitely that's definitely on my short list of films I definitely need to see. There's a lot of films I've never seen before, so having a bunch of these new streaming services definitely should help remedy that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Everybody has a big shame list, you know, that they don't like to admit to. And, you know, I've never seen any of the Alien films. So
that's also bad, Andy, I must say.
I know. Oh, no, sorry. I was watching.
At least he's a little young, Andy.
I spent too many years watching Mel Brooks movies over and over and over to memorize them. So, yes, I have a valid excuse. Come on. All right, Ben, give us an entry for you.
Okay, my second entry is going to be a film that I watched on Piece of the Action with Matt, and it is from 1994. It is Speed, starring Keanu Reeves, Sandra Bullock in her first film, and the amazing Dennis Hopper. There's basically only four characters in this film, and Matt will attest to that. There's Z3. And Jeff Daniels, basically. And it's just a beautifully simple plot, you know. The bus has to get over 50 miles an hour and then can't go below 50 miles an hour. And that is pretty much the whole film. And it's just fantastic. They filmed it on a pretty low budget. They made a shit ton of money from it. And yeah, again, you talk about films you can just stick on for a couple of hours and watch over and over again. Speed is definitely one of those at the top of that list for me.
Pop quiz, hot shot. You know, much like the first half of tonight's show was full of cheap plugs for laughing theater. This half will be dedicated to piece of the action. So, Matt, feel free to cheap plug all segments. All right. Logan also made your list.
Yeah, I was like, Keanu Reeves and Sandra Bullock are both great in this. And like you said, Dennis Hopper's also a great villain in this one for sure. He's kind of a good scumbag in this one. But yeah, it's different because it's on a bus and they're constantly going the whole time. They have to stay above 50 miles an hour. But yeah, this is kind of a breakout for both of those two, Sandra Bullock and Keanu Reeves. They really took off after this one. So just a great film, and I really like it a lot.
Mm-hmm. Steve, it was one of your honorable mentions.
Yeah, it's like the guy said, great film. Just really good fun.
Okay. Matt didn't make your list, but any thoughts?
Yeah, I don't mind telling you that this was probably the toughest list I've had to put together for making Mount Rushmore, and I had to cut Speed off the list, and it killed me because I love that movie. But yeah, it's a fantastic movie.
Mm-hmm. Roger, anything to share?
I agree with Matt. There's a lot of really good 90s action movies. This is one of them. Awesome, awesome movie. It didn't make my list, but I have no issue with it making Bulk's list. I will say I don't think it was a breakout for Sandra Bullock or Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, Keanu was already kind of on the map, and Sandra was just starting out a little bit. I think she did this after Demolition Man, so.
And you know, mm-hmm. I tried to build a little drama, Andy, and there you go. Just spoiler alert.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I didn't say you had on your list at all. You're the one that spoiled it. Fucking guy. All right. Steve, give us another one of your entries.
Well, my first one is we're going to keep on the Keanu Reeves bandwagon. I, of course, am going to mention The Matrix. One of the greatest sci-fi films to ever come out. It was so revolutionary for the time. Great cast. You know, Keanu, Lawrence Fishburne, Carrie Ann Moss, Hugo Weaving, some great effects in it, really set it apart from other sci-fi films of the time. The sequels were, they were kind of hit or miss, and obviously we got the fourth one coming here within the next year or so, but I think if you ask a lot of people about sci-fi films of the 90s, I'm guarantee that The Matrix will definitely be near the top of the list.
Yeah, listen to the Blockbuster Rewind. They were definitely misses. The first one, not so much. It was pretty good.
More in the miss category.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were terrible. Logan, you had The Matrix on your list.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you want to listen to Matt slowly slip into the abyss, listen to that episode. I'm just playing. But yeah, this is just completely revolutionary with all the slow-mo stuff and the dodging the bullets and all that crazy stuff. But just a great movie. Another great Keanu Reeves movie for sure. And one that I just absolutely thought I had to put on the list for sure.
Yep. And Matt made your list as well.
Yeah, it's an iconic movie. Don't watch the sequels. They should be buried in a desert and be banned by society.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, put them right next to the E.T. cartridges.
Exactly.
Roger, it was one of your honorable mentions.
It was on my list, and then I thought about it and took it off and made it an honorable mention. I love this movie. It's another very similar to Speed. I mean, it's a better movie than Speed, but it's tough to pick just four. I will say that for an in-theater experience, it's happened to me twice in my life where I left the theater and was just like it stayed with me for a couple of days. Like I felt like I was like living in an alternate reality. Cause like there wasn't like a lot of internet and stuff when this came out. So when I went and watched this movie, I had no idea about any of it. Right. So it's just like, you're watching it. And you're just like, holy shit. Right. And this one and then Inception did that to me, too, where I left the theater and it was like I was like a fucking disaster for 48 hours. So really, really awesome.
Yeah. Ben, it was an honorable mention for you as well.
Yeah, it was my last cut to make, Andy. And like the boys have said, it totally changed the game in terms of graphics and set pieces and visual effects. And yeah, don't go see any of the sequels. I can honestly say, when I went to see the first sequel, that is the most disappointed I have ever been to see a film at the cinema.
Yeah, I don't think I went to see it in the cinema, thank God. But Be Cool is probably my most disappointing because I love Get Shorty so much. All right, Logan, give us your final entry, I guess, on your list.
Yeah, I was going to say I'm 4 for 4 or 3 for 3 so far. So my last one is Jurassic Park. It came out the year I was born, but just a kind of interesting tale of a guy that kind of creates his own park with dinosaurs in it. He had a fascination with dinosaurs, so he wanted to make a park for everybody to kind of be able to observe them and kind of see them in their, well, not natural habitat, but he kind of tried to build a natural habitat for them, and it kind of goes awry, of course, and they kind of tear shit up and just destroy everything. But just a great movie. It might fall more into the adventure category, but I has enough action to where I felt like it could make this list, and I really love it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It definitely has enough action. It could fall under sci-fi or fantasy. Yeah, lots of yeah, I can't wait to get to it on Blockbuster Rewind. This is actually my favorite movie of all time, which is why Logan said, yeah, when Logan asked me, I said, absolutely. You're allowed to. Matt, any thoughts on Jurassic Park?
Yeah, it's a fantastic movie, but I didn't think to rank it for this list.
Mm-hmm. Roger?
Yeah, good movie. Really good books. I read the books before the movies came out. It's a little more like on the family friendly kind of. I like Matt. Didn't think to rank it on the list.
All right, Ben.
Yeah, fantastic movie, but I'm like the boys. I don't consider it like the traditional action film. It's more of a fantasy sci-fi movie for me.
And Steve, anything you want to share?
Yeah, great film. This was one. It took me a while to finally see this one, which I did see it. I saw it when it was.
Thank God. Don't make this your last Mount Rushmore appearance for that one.
Yeah, no, it was re-released in theaters in 2013, and that's when I got to finally see it. And I do, I've liked the Jurassic World films that came out in the last few years, but definitely, yeah, great film, great pick.
All right. Matt, give us another one of your entries.
All right. So we are going to go with, a Nick Cage film, The Rock, which is a fantastic movie. I love Nick Cage. I love Sean Connery. This was Michael Bay before Michael Bay turned into Michael Bay, so it was still good. yeah, it's about them overtaking Alcatraz. It's just so silly, and you know, there's the stuff with now I'm the Rocket Man and Womack, I knew it was you all along. And it's one of my all time favorite movies. Another movie, anytime it's on TV or anytime I see it streaming somewhere, I will throw it on. And yeah, it's fantastic.
All right. Steve, it was an honorable mention of yours.
Yeah, great movie. Great pick.
Mm-hmm. Roger, any thoughts on The Rock?
Awesome popcorn action movie. It didn't make my list. I mean, Nick Cage has a few that, like, I think if you picked him up and put him into the 2000s, they would have probably made my list. And this is one of them. So good pick, Matt.
Ben, anything to add?
Yeah, really good movie. But there is another Nick Cage film coming up a bit later, which I picked from my honorable mentions, which is why this didn't make it in.
All right, Logan.
Yeah, this one just missed it for me. This would definitely be number 5 if I could pick 5, but only could pick 4, so I just missed it.
All right, back to you, Roger. Give us another one on your list.
Demolition Man. So,
shocker.
Messing around, but so like I said, I do one that's kind of for me. I know this wasn't as huge of a hit as some of the other movies that we've talked about. But this movie holds a special place for me. I love this movie. I think Wesley Snipes as Simon Phoenix is one of the best villains in action movies in the history of action movies. I love Stallone. I really like Stallone. Even the movies that like some people might think of as misses for him, I think all his movies are awesome for the most part. And Dennis Leary was in this movie, and this was right when Dennis Leary had those comedy specials and was like one of the funniest guys in the world, so he was good. And then Sandra Bullock was starring in this movie. It was a year before Speed, and she was, you could see the talent oozing out of her, but a lot of great action. I love the concept of this movie where, you know, where it's like this utopian society, and they put Stallone and Simon Phoenix on ice, and they thaw them out, and it's just everything about this movie. And then I was in eighth grade when this movie came out, and my eighth grade math teacher was at the movie theater, and I asked him if he would buy tickets to this movie for me and my sister and my two cousins, because we were all like 13 years old, and the movie was rated R, and he fucking did it, and I'll never forget that. So that was-
that's awesome. Yeah, awesome movie. Steve, it made your list as well.
Roger, let me ask you that. Do you know how to use the three seashells?
I think that that's funny, but I never tried it. But maybe tonight, Steve, maybe while you're watching Terminator 2, I'll go hit the men's room.
This is a great film. This was one of the earliest action films that I really enjoyed growing up. I like Stallone was great. Wesley Snipes was great. I remember the video game that came out. I played that a little bit. And actually, I do remember it was featured in one of the Coliseum video for WWF used to do the Acclaim action, like the Acclaim tips.
Yep.
This was one of the games featured, so I have fond memories of that too. But just a great movie and a great choice for a 90s action film.
Be well, Matt Souza. It was on your list as well.
God, what a fantastic movie. One of my absolute favorites. Check out the piece of the action I did with Sean Kidd, where we watched this movie. absolutely fantastic. One of my all-time favorite movies ever.
Mm-hmm. Ben, anything to add?
Fabulous movie. Probably one of the last great Stallone movies before the descent into madness and mediocrity.
Whoa.
One of.
What films are you referencing there, Ben?
Well, I'm talking about some of the later Rocky movies, Andy, and I could go with the Expendables, and the later Rambo movies aren't great either.
Oh, you're whoa. I will not sit here and allow you to speak ill of 2008 Rambo, sir.
Honestly, 2019 Rambo was fucking awesome.
They're okay. I'm not saying they're bad.
You kind of said they were bad, Ben. You said descent into terribleness or whatever the word was.
I would make the argument that 2008 Rambo is the best of the series, sir.
Oh, Matthew.
See the bad of First Blood, Matt. I agree.
See?
First Blood is in the corner going, sir.
All right. Logan, anything to add about Demolition Man?
Good movie. I've only seen it a couple of times, but I enjoyed it when I have watched it before.
All right, Ben, give us another entry on your list.
So I feel like I've got the boys quite angry, Andy. This is not going to work well for me, is it?
Took a little longer.
You know how it feels.
Yeah, take some of the heat off of me.
Okay, so.
No, you still got heat on you, man. That ain't going away.
I tried.
The third film on my list is my second Arnie film of the list, and it is True Lies. Absolutely love this film. And a killer cast on it. You know, Jamie Lee Curtis is fabulous. Tom Arnold's in it. Tia Carrera, you know, we spoke in the first half about her hotness. It continues, you know, you've got a young Eliza Dushku in it. You know, it's an Arnie film with a plot, and it's a plot you can follow, and all the threads are tied, which is quite rare for an Arnie film. It's just like, you know, usually, you know, it's just there, and then we start with the violence, and this, you've got a bit of background going on. But yeah, it's a film I can watch again and again and again, and I love it.
So this is the Wedding Singer of Arnold Schwarzenegger films, in your opinion?
No, that would be something... Because when Arnie tries to do comedy later, and, you know, no. I'll have Twins and Kindergarten Cops, okay, but after that, no, no.
Oh boy, Matt, it was one of your honorable mentions.
This is a good movie. I don't know if I'd go as far as to say it's a great movie, but it's a good movie. Another movie that I was way too young to be seeing the first time I saw it. I was probably, let's say 7 or 8 the first time I saw True Lies. So, I've seen it a bunch, and it's a good movie.
Mm-hmm. Roger, any thoughts on True Lies?
True Lies, very good movie. I feel similarly to this as I do to The Rock. I've seen it a bunch of times. I really, really like it. Very, very slick and well done for an Arnold movie. So good choice, Ben. It's not quite like Tango and Cash, but it's close.
It's no 08 Rambo, I'll say that.
Steve, you had as one of your honorable mentions?
Yeah, that's a good choice. Good pick there.
Mm-hmm. Logan, anything to add?
Definitely a good pick. I like this one a lot for sure. Mm-hmm.
All right, Steve, give us another entry on your list.
Okay, well, you can't talk about 90s action films without, of course, mentioning one of my favorite films from the decade, and that's, of course, Independence Day. I remember when the film came out in 96, just so much hype behind it. Again, a great cast, Will Smith in one of his like big breakout roles, Bill Pullman and as the president, and just a great group of people in it. The action sequences, the fight sequences were great. Obviously, you know, the hook behind it was seeing the destruction of all the cities and seeing the humanity come together as one and fight against this alien force that was trying to take over. Just such a really, really great film, and one that I think definitely is still up there as one of the greatest action films of the decade.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, highly agree. The sequel? Not so much. Terrible, terrible movie. I actually did see in the theater. There was talk of them doing a sequel not far after this came out. I think it was going to be called July 5th. And it never materialized, and it would have been way better than that thing that came out. I don't even remember when it came out, but I just remember it being very bad. Logan, any thoughts on Independence Day?
A great movie, a fantastic action movie, and Will Smith is absolutely great in it, so I definitely get why it made Steve Lewis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this started his ownership of the 4th of July weekend in terms of movies. Matt, anything to add?
Yep. Very good movie. Has the iconic scene, of course, with them blowing up the White House. And boy, you are absolutely right about the sequel. Holy shit, does that movie suck. Oh, my Lord. What a terrible movie. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the first one is very good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Roger, anything?
I really liked Independence Day. Didn't make my list, but I really like Independence Day. I saw it in the theater. Fun fact, I legitimately cried during the president's speech where this is our Independence Day. Still gets me. Still gets me when I watch it to this day.
There you go. You still get the vapors. It's okay. Ben, any thoughts on Independence Day?
Good movie, but it's no Starship Troopers, is it, Andy?
You're kind of losing out all your Wacky Racers credit that you got in the last episode. You're kind of burning it down.
First Rambo, now this. Good God, Ben.
You do not like Starship Troopers, Ben, or you like it?
If you couldn't guess, my tongue was ever so slightly in my cheek there, Roger. It's what I could watch. No, but Independence Day is far, far better.
I really like Starship Troopers. You didn't like it?
Starship Troopers is fine. It's just it shouldn't even sniff a Mount Rushmore of 90s action. Sorry. All right, Roger, give us another one on your list.
Sure. Heat.
There you go.
So, I mean, this is one of... This may be my favorite movie. And I mean, it's like... It's not a pure action movie, so I can understand why people would leave it off the list. It has some very, it has action scenes in it, but it's probably more of like a, you know, a crime drama. But I just love it so much that I had to put it on here. It was, you know, it's tough to describe how exciting it was to have De Niro and Pacino on the screen at the same time at this point in their careers. And it really delivered, and Michael Mann did it. And it's, you know, I put it on here because the act, like even the opening scene is a phenomenal action scene. You know, Wayne Grow, the whole thing. I just think it's a great movie.
All right. Ben, anything to add?
Yeah, really good film, really good set pieces. And that scene with De Niro and Pacino, you know, they're only on screen together for 10 minutes on in that one scene pretty much. And yeah, just iconic.
Steve?
That's a good pick. I don't think I've ever I don't think I've ever heard that film. But maybe that one just kind of slipped through the cracks for me. But that's, you know, good pick.
All right. Logan?
Yeah, Pacino and De Niro are both good and really good in this film, so good pick.
Maddie?
Yeah, great movie, but didn't make my list.
All right, Ben, let's finish off your list.
Okay, and another plug for Piece of the Action, because we're about to watch this film in a couple of weeks. I have picked Die Hard with a Vengeance from 1995, so this is a bit of a personal favorite of mine. Obviously, the third of the Die Hard films. You know, John McTiernan back in the chair for this one. And yeah, it's just a really good, really fun movie. The chemistry between Bruce Willis and Samuel L. Jackson is off the wall, and you know, the whole billboard scene, again, you talk about iconic films, that any scene that gets cut, it even got cut over here for when it's on telly, they never show that, but I absolutely love it.
It made Matt, it was one of your honorable mentions.
Yeah, everything Ben said. I'm a huge Samuel L. Jackson fan, and the chemistry that he has with Bruce Willis is fantastic. It's just so many iconic scenes in this movie, and it's fantastic. One of my favorites.
Would you rank it? You rank this above Die Hard 2?
Yeah, I would.
I agree with that. So I don't know. I'm not arguing. I'm just asking your opinion. Logan, any thoughts on Die Hard with a Vengeance?
I love all the Die Hard movies, just and like the boys have said, the Samuel L. Jackson, Bruce Willis combo in this one makes for a really entertaining film. So it's definitely a great pick, and I'm looking forward to watching it on Piece of the Action with the boys as well.
All right, Steve, any thoughts?
Yeah, that's definitely a good pick as well. Definitely a great film.
Roger, anything to add?
Really good movie. Really, really good. Second best Die Hard movie, in my opinion. And Jeremy Irons is really good in it as well as the villain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. All right, Steve, let's finish off your list.
Okay, my final one. I'm kind of interested to see the reaction this one gets. I liked it at the time. It's kind of more mixed for me, but I still think it's a good, a really good action film. For the later part of the 90s. So that's Armageddon. You know, I know some people have some, you know, there's some slight issues with it, you know, the whole love thing with Ben Affleck and Liv Tyler, but I do think that Bruce Willis is really good as in his, you know, role. He's got a good cast in there. The scenes of the asteroids destroying the cities is a pretty cool sight. And you know, seeing them go on to the asteroid and try to destroy it, as you know, is really, you feel the tension when they try, you know, when all the problems keep arising up for them. But probably a little bit of a weaker entry, but I still think it's a worthy choice for action films of the 90s.
Yeah, didn't make anybody else's list, but Logan, you have any thoughts to add on Armageddon?
It's definitely a great movie. I wouldn't necessarily slot it in action in my mind, but I definitely understand where Steve's coming from.
Yep, Matt.
Yep, great movie. Another good Michael Bay movie. That's two we've mentioned on this here podcast. But yeah, great movie.
Mm-hmm. Roger, you have any thoughts to share on Armageddon?
Yeah, movie gets a bad rap, Steve. I like the pick a lot. I just didn't think of it. Don't think of it as an action movie per se. Kind of maybe similar to Heat in that way. But this is another one. I've seen this movie 50 times, and I would watch it again right now. And when he talks to Liv Tyler at the end, I cry every time. I would cry right now.
Takes a real man to cry, Roger. All right, Ben, you have anything to add before we get to the last pick?
Yeah, good movie, and definitely doesn't deserve the rep it's got.
Yeah, no, it's better. Definitely the best Something Giant from Space is Going to Destroy the Earth movie, I would think. All right, Roger, why don't you finish off your list, and then we'll get to the honorable mentions.
Sure, so my last one, that it replaced The Matrix at the 11th hour. I went back and forth, but it's The Crow. So I think it is pretty much a pure action movie. A lot of great action sequences. You had obviously the untimely death of Brandon Lee during the filming of the movie. Probably the best soundtrack of the 90s, in my opinion. It was huge at the time, and the movie still holds up today. And it's a bit, you know, I think I probably put it on here as a little bit of nostalgia, but it's different than a lot of the other movies that we've talked about, and that it's not really a popcorn action movie. It's more of a, you know, more of a thriller set in, I mean, more of a dark thriller kind of set in a wasteland. I love the way he kills all those guys. And I really like the main villain. The guy is like a vampire, kind of, and his girl with the, you know, the black magic. The whole thing, I think, is just, I really, really like this movie. And so I thought it deserved to be on my list, so on my list.
Yeah, soundtrack features one of the best Stone Temple Pilots songs, Big Empty. So, all right, Ben, any thoughts on The Crow?
Yeah, great film, great soundtrack, really good pick, Rog.
Steve?
Yeah, good pick, but whenever I think of The Crow, I just think of 97 Sting. So,
Logan.
Yeah, good film for sure. Good pick, Roger.
All right, and Maddie, anything to share about The Crow?
Great movie. So that's all I got.
All right, let's get to honorable mentions. Go back around the horn to Roger. Anything we didn't talk about that you wanted to mention?
Point Break.
Oh, awesome movie for guys who like movies.
Early 90s, but really, really awesome movie, and I it was really tough for me to keep it off the list. I love that movie. And so I had Point Break. And then the other one that I had that wasn't mentioned was Total Recall with Arnold. Again, very early 90s, but not quite as good as Terminator 2, but really iconic movie.
I remember when I picked Con Air for a piece of the action, but I don't know, Matt, have you done Point Break yet?
No, not Point Break. We did do Total Recall. I had Jake on for Total Recall.
But yeah, so Point Break would have been like my second pick if Con Air had been taken. I love that. Yeah. So via Con Diaz. Name's Johnny Utah. Yeah. So I love that. The ex-presidents. Oof. All right. Ben, anything, any honorable mentions to add?
Yeah, I had Break a Total Recall as well. The only other one that we haven't mentioned is Face Off. You know, we talked about great chemistry earlier on. Travolta and Cage, absolutely fantastic in that. So yeah, Face Off for me.
Yeah, this is right in the Travolta Renaissance period. You know, you had Pulp Fiction, Get Shorty, you know, and then, you know, Face Off came along. And also, what was that? The other one he was in with Christian Slater.
Broken Arrow.
Yes, I love Broken Arrow. I'm sorry. He's such a Vic Deakins, right? I think his character.
Face Off's an incredible movie.
Yeah.
Really, really good.
Yep.
Gina Gershon in that movie is like top five for me all time.
Oh, yeah.
Well, specifically in that movie.
Steve, any honorable mentions?
Yeah, I had a bunch. I had Speed, The Rock, and True Lies were on mine. Another one that I'm actually very surprised nobody mentioned yet, Mission Impossible, was a big one of the decade. You can say that kind of helped, you know, Tom Cruise along throughout in his career.
Overrated.
One that I actually, I don't know what attracted me to this film, but it was one I actually watched kind of early on. The Long Kiss Goodnight with Gina Davis, Samuel L. Jackson is one that I watched a couple times back in the 90s. I thought was pretty good in terms of an action film. Yeah. And of course, we can't, if we're going to talk action films, we of course have to mention, you can't forget about James Bond. And there were a couple of Bond films in the 90s. You had GoldenEye, you had Tomorrow Never Dies, and you had The World Is Not Enough. Three, when Pierce Brosnan took over as Bond, I thought all three of those films, particularly GoldenEye and Tomorrow Never Dies, were pretty good action films. So those are ones I've got.
GoldenEye featuring Famke Janssen as Xena Onatopp. That's probably number three or four in terms of Bond girl names. Nothing will ever beat Pussy Galore. All right, Logan, any honorable mentions?
Yeah, I was just say I don't love the Mission Impossible movies, but that definitely needed to be mentioned for sure. I commend Steve for mentioning that, even though it seems to be that most of the panel isn't a big fan of that one. But we mentioned Die Hard 2 earlier. That one's really strong. It has one of my favorite kills at the very end when they cut the gas tank and he throws the lighter on the ground and it leads up to the plane and makes the plane explode. I love that so much. That's a good end to that film. But just those are two that definitely need to be mentioned for sure.
All right. And Matt.
You have hit on every single movie I had listed.
There you go. All right, so before we go, though, let's kind of go around the horn and give everybody where other pods they could find you, social media presence. Let's start you, Cowboy. Where can people find you? What shows are you featured on?
Logan and I do From Squared Circle to the Silver Screen on the North-South Connection Network. That's about all I'm doing right now. At one point or another, I will start recording our sports show again with John D'Amato and my dad and Ryder. So we're hoping to get that going soon. This Week in Sports may end up being this week at the NFL again, but we shall see. So
this year in sports, that's what we're going to aim for. Ben, what do you have to plug?
Okay, so we are on the wrestling feed with the Special Relations. I will let the other two boys mention the other shows I'm on with them with. Here on the pop feed, there's Telly and T with Miranda, and also, by the time this comes out, hopefully, you will be able to hear Popcorn Chicken Salad, where we focus on a movie that will not be on anybody's Mount Rushmore of action food movies ever, which is 1995's Mortal Kombat. And a good time is had by all. It's me, Logan, and Matt on that episode.
There you go. All right, Steve?
Well, here on the Pop Feed, you, me, and Miranda have Pop Goes to Classics, where we look at all the Disney films. This month, we've dropped 101 Dalmatians, which was a lot of fun. And next month will be The Sword and the Stone, which was a very fun time for that recording that episode. I also have a couple of articles over at PlaceToBeNation.com. I have The Vintage While Previewing, The Box Office Report, my wonderful reviews of Disney, and currently my wonderful lists of Disney, where I'm ranking a bunch of different categories. Should be wrapping up on the villains here within the next week or so, and then I will begin the next category, which is songs, and that's going to be the longest of the list at 244 entries, so that's going to be quite the task to rank all those. So you guys can be on the lookout for that. Other than that, you can find me over at the Place to Be Facebook page. Lots of great questions, discussions, songs of the day get posted. Just a lot of great stuff over there with a lot of great people.
All right. Logan, what do you have to plug?
I'm on Popcorn Chicken Salad, like Ben said. I'll try and be on most episodes of that show with him. From Square Circle to the Silver Screen with Roger, we just did the Scorpion King, and I think by the point that this is going to come out, we'll have probably just recorded, or we'll be about to record Stuber. We're going to do that for our next one. Highway to the Impact Zone, we're just about to get to Turning Point at this point, and that one will be a big fun show for sure. And then Chicken Salad, by the time this comes out, our WrestleMania 27 episode with Jake Williams will be out, I'm sure. But yeah, that's all I got going on right now.
Do you take suggestions for From Square Circle to Silver Screen?
Yes, we ignore them, but we'll take them.
You write it, girl. You do with for that it. Suggestion, Andy. You can write it. No, I'm just kidding.
All right, and Matt, what do you have to play?
You can find me on Twitter at MSouza1991. On the wrestling feed, you can find me as one of the gems on Jenny and the Gems. I'm on every other episode of Highway to the Impact Zone. And here on the Pop feed, you can find me as the host of Piece of the Action.
Very good. All right. As for me, you can hear me every week on Pop Goes to the Couch. We will. We should still be covering Falcon and Winter Soldier by this around this time. Also, I have the most sensational, inspirational, celebrational, motivational podcast. Miranda and I dropped episode one. We talked about the first four episodes of season one. We will be covering 4 to 6 episodes of The Muppet Show each time, each podcast. And then once we finish a season, we will cover one of the great movies they did. Pop Goes to the Movies will be continuing on whenever there's a brand new movie, whether it's in the theaters or on a streaming service. We'll get a group of people together to talk about and give their thoughts, as well as PTB and Trivia Night. The next episode that you should have heard by now will be the Marvel-themed episode. No idea who's on it, nor who won it, nor who won the last episode before this, the 90s episode. Could be Matt, could be somebody else, who knows? But keep tuning in every other Friday, and we'll find out who wins the big gold belt as the first season winner. Also, Laugh in Theater, great debate. Year in Pop, all will be back before long over on the Wrestling Network. There is Evolution, as well as the Great Debate Wrestling, and the spinoff of this very show. There is a wrestling version that will be dropping monthly on the PlayStation Wrestling Network. Check out the other feeds that were mentioned, which is the North-South Connection, as well as the Jenny Vision. Check out the website, like Steve mentioned, PlayStation.com, each and every day, as well as the Place to Be Facebook group for all kinds of fun discussions and just good people to hang out with and laugh around with. So, I want to thank all these gentlemen for being on the show. That is Matt Souza, Logan Cross, Steve Riddle, Ben Locke, and the cowboy Roger Morissette. I am Andy Addison. Thank you for joining us for Making Mount Rushmore, and we'll see you on the next episode. Take care, everybody.